18th verse, that's on page 1121. It's our custom to stand for the reading of the gospel at the words of Jesus. And when the hour came, he reclined at table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I've earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this, divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup, after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to question one another which of them it could be who was going to do this. A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as one who serves. For who is the greater, one who reclines at table or one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at table? But I am among you as the one who serves. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. So when you hear a gospel reading like that and the words of Jesus primarily throughout, you want to take note as to what he's saying to us. And in this, you hear a couple of statements and really a couple of commands, don't you? He says, this is my body of the bread. And he says, this is my blood of the wine. He's making us aware of really what he's giving to us. And he says, this is given for you. But then he gives the commands, and he says, do this, and when you do this, remember. In the Old Testament, when God's people would remember, it is as if they were participants in the very action of God which they're recollecting. So, for instance, when they would celebrate the Passover meal year after year after year, their participation was not just thinking in terms of a memory format. No, it was as if they were actually participating in that very night and experiencing the very liberation and freedom that that meal gave to them. And I think there's some similarity to Holy Communion. On Monday, Thursday, there's a variety of things that one can speak to, but I think really it's a great night to have everybody think about the Lord's Supper, the sacrament of the altar, Holy Communion. Our young people have been doing that with me, and I think they know pretty much what I'm going to share right now, and that's really a good thing. So I want to give three encouragements to all of us about Holy Communion. Number one, there is kind of a new way of doing restaurant in the last, let's say, 10, 15 years. And it's called farm to table. Have you heard about this? Yeah. I mean, really, doesn't it make you snicker a little bit? Because really, that's how it always was. But now it's new again, and it's expensive. So farm to table. And I was thinking, okay, why do people like this? And here's some thoughts about it. It's because they like to know the source of the food, okay? And the source of farm-to-table food is supposed to be local, known food, okay? They like it because they believe it's going to be healthy or healthier for them because it's fresh. And they also like it that the menu will change seasonally depending on what you're growing at that particular time. So in winter, lots of kale, right? Okay. Now, in Alpharetta, just so you know, there's two particular restaurants if you want to try farm-to-table. One is Milton's Cuisine, okay? And they have a big garden right near their restaurant. And they have a Facebook page that will show you the progression of that garden. And it keeps expanding. It keeps getting bigger and bigger. Milton's Cuisine. And the other one is Casa Nuevo. It's on Highway 9. And about a mile off of that Italian restaurant is their garden. And one time we went there with a couple from church. And we left with a bag of their home grown vegetables in the bag because they just had a surplus at that time and they didn't want it to spoil. Isn't that kind of cool? So we'll see you there. Okay, now what's the point? Farm to table, cross to table. Ah, think about it in those same categories with me, okay? When you think about the source, it's local. What I mean is, this is our table, folks. The altar there, that's our table. And it's local, it's right here. In a sense, this is your spiritual restaurant that you come to. Praise God for that, okay? Secondly, it's healthy, okay? The gifts that are given here are kind of special. It's the gift of Jesus' body and blood, but really what you're receiving is his love in that, okay? Secondly, it's known, and when I say that, I mean when the gift of love is given, it's because the giver knows you, and so you're never going to be alone. And the third thing is that you're fed here. Now, I am sure that many people in our neck of the woods would think this is a strange thing to take a little wafer and a little glass of wine, right? And when you think about it, you have to really receive it with faith in the words that we just heard read. And if you believe that Jesus died and rose again for you, if you believe that Jesus is the incarnate Son of God, it's not really that difficult to hear him say, "This is my body, this is my blood of the bread and the wine." And then to hear him say, "Do this." And as you do it, participate in it, remember it as if it's right now for you. The other one that I mentioned about farm to table, this is cross to table, is seasonality. And interestingly here, you get the same thing every time, right? So it doesn't change. The bread and wine are always going to be bread and wine. The deal is you change and you go through seasons in your life, but Jesus Christ never does change. I am the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And when you come, you have that firm foundation of Jesus Christ. Okay? So that's the first thing I wanted you to remember and take home. I got two other quick ones. The next one, and I didn't bring it because I'm afraid it'll always ring, but it's technology. So just think with me in technology, because it's really neat to have FaceTime. And I have an Apple little phone thing and an iPad, and when I'm away, I can see my family. I can see Bon, and I can see the others in the family and be right there with them. And I think that's so cool. Skype does the same kind of thing. And then when you think about social media, it allows you to text and be in touch with people right away. And all that's good. But would you agree with me that all that technology is not as good as being right there with the other person? With me on that? To see them, hear their voice, touch them, that's far better than any technology. Okay? Well, in Jesus' day, the idea of somebody being present had its connection to the word face. So remember, Jacob wrestles with this angelic being at the Jabbok River, and they wrestle all night. And he names the place Peniel, and it means God's face. And the root word is to turn toward. And so it was such a special place for him because he felt like at that place, with all that he had going on in his life, the Lord's face turned to him and was present for him. So when we talk here about the Lord's Supper, I would have to say to you, it's really good to receive the Lord's Supper, but not nearly as good as when we see him face to face. So when I come to Holy Communion, and I hope you too, it does create some longing in your heart. I hope that you might even think, Lord, one day, not just through this sacramental presence, but your real presence to touch you, to see you, to hear your voice. Wow. Okay. Last one. In Holy Communion, there is a proclamation. Now, I base this on 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 26. We say it sometimes in our worship times. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And if you weren't a Christian, you'd take a double take at that sentence. You proclaim his death until he comes? Well, how could that be? Unless what? He rose from the dead. Whenever we take Holy Communion, we do remember the Lord's death for us. But he's present in the bread and the wine. And we receive that presence as a proclamation over us that that was done for us. Last thought. It says, for as often as you eat and drink the bread and wine, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Who do you proclaim it to? Well, one another. We're here in church. Good. But when you leave the table, you go into all different spheres, and the proclamation continues. The proclamation of the Lord's death and resurrection is what we call the gospel. And you are his good news people, in deed and words if necessary. Amen. So now we get an opportunity to come forward and to receive Holy Communion. Thank you, Shelley.